This morning we are going to be in two very short verses. It's in Mark chapter 1. If you want to turn there, and it's verse 40 is where we'll start, just 40 and 41. As we look at this passage this morning, this is a very quick thing that takes place. As Jesus is just finishing the Sermon on the Mount, and he's coming down off of the mountain. If you go to this passage in Matthew, multitudes were with him up on the mountain. And I'm getting claustrophobic right here, I'm just telling you already. We're going to have to be over here maybe a little bit more today. But he had just come down off of the mountain doing the Sermon on the Mount, and all that's going on, all the teaching that he's just done, everybody that he had spoke to that came for the miracles and were able to hear the blessings of Jesus' teachings, not everybody was allowed on that mountain. Today, I want us to look at this man. He's a leper, and we'll read the scripture in just a minute, but he's a leper that in their time, leprosy in the Bible can mean any type of a skin disease. It could mean any type of psoriasis, clear to full-blown leprosy, which is contagious. This man, the way that scholars believe, the way that theologians believe, he probably did have leprosy, that he come up to Jesus after the time on the mountain. But this man, his mindset needs to be our mindset. And so as we look at this today, I want you to put yourself in the place of the leper. Let's read in Mark chapter 1, verses 40. It says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.'" Let's pray. Father, we just come before you, and as we open your word today, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds. Lord, may it not be just a passage out of the Bible that we read, but may it be understanding that you give to each of us that we can apply to our lives. Lord, that when we walk from this place, we feel like we need to change, because none of us, Lord, are where you want us to be. So I pray for each one here today to hear from you, not from me. In your name I pray, amen. Like I said, this man is a leper, and Jesus is coming down off of the mountain after teaching. And this man does something, and it tells us in that first verse, just in verse 40, basically the whole sermon is going to be there. And I know there's times when I'll read 20 verses, and I'll get done early. And there's times, I'm just saying, when I may read one verse or two, and it might be a little late, but it shouldn't be too bad. But if he speaks to us, then don't worry about your clock, because there's more important things. And so as we look at this man, he had come to a point of knowing about Jesus. Now, whether he had ever seen Jesus before, whether he knew who Jesus was, we don't know the whole background. We just know he was a man with leprosy that wanted to see Jesus. And so I start off there this morning. I say, why are you here? I ask that question all the time, and it's maybe a question that seems strange to come from a pastor. Say, why are you in church? You know, and it's not that I'm questioning that I don't want you here. I do. I would like for everybody to be here and hear what God has to say. But this man, he comes and he seeks out Jesus. Now, we know why. He had leprosy, and he'd heard enough about Jesus to understand that Jesus was his only hope. He's obviously, it tells us he's just a leper who came to Jesus. So we're assuming, because of what we see in our minds, that he was probably a not a teenager. He was a man of age that had probably had leprosy for some time. We don't know. We can only assume those things. But what we can know from this scripture is he realized he needed Jesus. He came to Jesus. He sought him out. We talked about this Wednesday night at church. Sometimes we read passages so quickly that we miss some things. Because we read the verses, we read a chapter in 5, 10, 20, 30 minutes that took years and years to take place. Now, I'm not saying this took a long time to happen, but stop and think about what had to have taken place. Here's Jesus, and Matthew tells us multitudes of people, thousands of people, are up on the mountain listening to Jesus. And they begin to walk down. So you see this crowd of, let's just say 500. We'll give the benefit of the doubt. Just 500 people come walking down off of this mountain. We don't know what time of day it was. But here is this leper, probably not a very popular guy, and he has to find Jesus in that crowd. Now, we know in all the movies and all the pictures and all the books, which were not real, by the way, we see here's Jesus walking in this white robe with this red sash, and everybody else is in their dingy colored clothes. Well, he'd be real easy to pick out, but that's not the way it was. And so as they're coming down off of this mountain, after the teaching, after Jesus has been teaching most of the day, we don't know what time it was, but we know it was probably late in the day. And as he comes down, this man has to find that one Jesus in the midst of the multitude. Probably wasn't the easiest thing to do, but he knew that was his only hope. If you got up tomorrow and you knew there was no way for you to make it through the day unless you saw Jesus, unless you had a confrontation with Jesus, you knew there was no way that your life was ever going to turn out right. What have you went through to get to that point? He was, like I said, a leper, and he's trying to search for Jesus in the multitudes of people on the side of this mountain as Jesus comes down. He has to go through some things to get to Jesus. What do we go through to get to Jesus? You know what a lot of people go through to get to Jesus? They think it's just some doors on a church. They think maybe it's just a time of just closing their eyes. But this man had to seek out Jesus. And I wonder when the last time that we really sought out Jesus. You know, because a lot of times, we just want to bump into him. We just want to, hey, if I go to church, I'll run into Jesus because that's where they teach about him. That's where they sing about him. That's where they praise him. That's where they worship him. And so if I just go there, I will have an encounter with Jesus. It doesn't work that way. Now, there are times when yes, God does intervene in our lives, and he has to smack me in the head with a two before to get my attention. But the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 29:13 that if we seek him with our whole heart, he will be found by us. And I'm one of those guys that I'm not trying to add to the Bible, but I like to look at what the Bible is saying by what it's saying. And if it says you will find me if you seek me with your own heart, with your whole heart, then that kind of tells me that if I don't seek him with my whole heart, I will not find him. That's really what that verse says. And I would say there are more people out there that are not looking for him, that are not finding him, than there are those that are seeking with their whole heart and finding him. Because I see what shape our world is in. And I see what shape our churches are in. And we go wanting to have an encounter with Jesus, and just hoping that he will show up and change everything, and I'll just be there and it'll affect me. And it can do that. But you know, I can go to the hospital and visit somebody, and the germs that are there, they can infect me too. But then as time goes by, I can get medicine. I can take care of that. I can go back right back to life, and that'll never affect me. It'll never stick with me. And if all you do is come to church, if all I do is come to church, and I hope that encounter happens, I hope that encounter happens, then the chances of it happening are very slim. But if I do what this leper did, if I seek him out, If I come to him, that does not mean come to First Southern Baptist Church. That does not mean come to any other church. It says he came to him. He came to Jesus. Don't come to church, come to Jesus. If you don't get anything else today, get that. Understand that. Because too many times we think coming to church is all we need to do. And it'll all rub off on us and we'll be okay. And I know I can hear the wheels turning out there. Is like, man, this pastor doesn't want us to come to church. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if all you do is come to church, you're wasting your time. Come to Jesus. If you don't come to Jesus, you are wasting your time. If you don't come to Jesus, you are wasting your life. If you don't come to Jesus, you are wasting eternal life and the gift of Jesus Christ. We come hoping to bump into him by rubbing shoulders with other people. Don't come here just hoping. Come to him. That's what the leper did, because he knew about Jesus. Well, knowing about Jesus wasn't enough. He had to come to him. Knowing about Jesus is not enough. You may have studied him for your whole life. You may have been going to church your whole life. You know all about him. You know all the stories. You know all the songs. I can sing the songs without looking up there at the screen. I can quote some scriptures. Once somebody says something, something will come. That's great. But you have to come to Jesus. I can remember this phrase going through my mind. I said, somebody needs to have a come to Jesus meeting. You ever heard that phrase? Who is that usually talking about? Me and Ed, we need to have a come to Jesus meeting. That means me and Ed are meeting. You need to have a come to Jesus meeting with Jesus. That's where we've got to be. Because it's not about us. It's not about our church. It's about Jesus. This man figured that out. And it says he came to Jesus. And when he came to Jesus, he came imploring him. I had to look that up. That's not a word I use. I don't know about you. But there are so many definitions. It's that desperation. It's that idea, that understanding of he had no hope anywhere else. And so his attitude as he came was that attitude of desperation. And he came to Jesus with that attitude. And as I thought about that, and as I looked over that, and as I prayed about it, I thought, there are a lot of people that do come to Jesus. They do come and they want to meet Jesus, and they get down on their knees and they pray to him, and they ask of him, and they desire to serve him, and they want to do all the right things. But too many times we don't come out of desperation. When you came in the doors this morning, when you got up this morning, maybe last week, maybe sometime during this week, how desperate were you for Jesus? We go to Jesus, we go to God so many times like he's a good friend or like he's a banker and he has everything that we need. And we go to him knowing, understanding, because the scripture tells us he is there My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You're supposed to take, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Be thankful for the answers God gives you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We know all of those scriptures. And too many times we come to him thinking we deserve them. You don't. I don't. We need to understand, like this man, he had leprosy. There was no life with leprosy. He had an existence. But he understood. He sought out Jesus and he was desperate. It wasn't like he was just going to run up to Jesus and say, "Hey, buddy, would you heal me?" That's not what it says. It says he came imploring him. He was desperate. He came begging for Jesus to hear him. We're spoiled. And sometimes we have to understand that we're spoiled and we don't even understand that we're wrong. Because we think we deserve it. We think all we've got to do is get down on our knees and Jesus help me. And yes, that's true, he does, and don't get me wrong. But when we go with that attitude that we deserve it, we are taking away what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Because if you and I weren't desperate, if you and I weren't in a position that apart from Christ on the cross, there is no way that you are going to be able to live this life. You'll have an existence just like this leper. But you will not have life and life abundant, as the Bible tells us that we can have, until you understand how desperate you are. Too many times today, Christians don't live like we're desperate. And understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying we should live at this, oh, woe is me type of deal life. That's not what I'm saying. But if we don't understand how desperate we were before Christ died on the cross, then we will never appreciate the fact that Christ died on the cross. We will take it for granted. Well, I said that prayer, and so everything's mine now. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And yes, that's true. Don't get me wrong. But having that attitude towards those blessings is wrong. That's where we've got to understand that when he says that he knew, he was imploring, he was begging. He had probably heard all kinds of stories of how Jesus had healed people. And maybe that's why he came, because he knew it was a possibility. But by begging, he knew he didn't deserve it. And you and I don't either. But we live like we do. We react like we do. Apart from grace. Romans, I'm going to say these out of order on purpose, so you know. Romans 6:23 tells us what? The wages of sin are death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. And then you go back, and this is where it's out of order for a lot of people, to Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If the wages of sin are death, and everybody has sinned, and everybody deserves death, and if you don't understand that that makes you desperate, then you're having an issue. So what we need to understand, and this is not just for an unbeliever, this is for the Christian too. Because you can't live your daily life without him. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to live this life and glorify God as your purpose. And Luke 13:3 says, unless you repent, you're going to perish. When we read those three verses, only then will we understand how desperate we are. And only when we understand how desperate we are for the salvation of Jesus Christ will we appreciate what he did. Oh, well, I appreciate the fact that he died on the cross. How has it affected your life today? How has it affected your relationship towards him today? That's what we need to ask ourselves, is are we desperate for God? So the leper, let's go back to the verse. The leper came to Jesus. He was imploring him. And then he kneeling down to him. Well, in the Bible, most times we tie together the kneeling with worship. And that's true. Kneeling was a sign of worship. But it was also something that they would do when they would go before a king. And they may not be worshiping the king, but they would kneel down in submission to that king. We understand that the Bible uses this word kneeling for both worship and submission. Our problem is too many times we worship, but we don't submit. We worship, but we don't submit. And if you don't submit, is it really worship? Or is it just words? Is it just songs? We wonder what happens in our life. Here's this leper. He comes to Jesus. He's begging. He realizes his desperation, and now he wants to submit to Jesus because he knows, we're going to get to that, what can take place. But he submits to Jesus, and I'm going to say this, and understand me, the amount of movement in your life by God is generally parallel to the amount of submission in your life. Did you get that? The amount of movement of God in your life is parallel to the amount of submission to God in your life. Well, God's not moving in my life. Well, maybe you're not submitting to Him. Maybe you're not surrendering to Him. I don't feel the Holy Spirit in my life. And so maybe I need filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit fills a person, and it's shown by the amount of surrender that we have to the Holy Spirit. It's not like, oh, Ed needs a cup full here. It's not that deal. It's there. The Holy Spirit is there, but what is shown is when we either quench the Spirit or we surrender to Him. You will never worship God without submission. Because if you do not surrender to Him as Lord, then you have no reason to worship. If He's not your Lord, then you're not going to surrender. You're not going to submit. This man sought Him out. He begged. He submitted to Jesus. And that's not all. But are we even there? Do we seek Him out? Are we desperate? Are we submitting to Him on a daily basis? Yeah, when I was 21 years old, I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I asked Him to be the Lord of my life. I took what He had done for me. I understood it, and I give my heart to Him. I give my life to Him. I did that when I was 21. That's 40 years ago. What has He done in me lately? I should ask that question every single day, and so should you. Because if I just surrendered one time 40 years ago, there's not going to be a whole lot showing. I have to surrender every day. Because if I don't surrender to Him, I'm surrendering to someone else. And no, it's not me. We have to understand that. Submission is necessary. He goes on, he says, after kneeling down, saying to Him, if You are willing, You can make me clean. So let's get what he's done. He's came, he's been imploring, he's submitting, and now he's asking. Many of us just want to jump right to the asking part. Forget the seeking. Forget the understanding how desperate. Forget the submitting. Just why couldn't you have just jumped to the end of this sermon and said, all you got to do is ask? Because you'll never get to the asking in this attitude that this man has without those first three. Too many times we just want to ask, and it'll all be okay. But he asked in a way that we have to understand. He says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Again, the other thing that that's saying, even if you don't make me clean, you still can. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, King Nebuchadnezzar is going to throw them in the fiery furnace, and they say, King, our God can save us. But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship you. Same thing that this leper's saying. Jesus, you can heal me, but even if you don't, I know you can. Is that the way we ask? Do we have that type of faith? Do we have that type of understanding to where we're going to ask, saying, Jesus, I know you can, even if you don't. I know you can. And because of that, I'm going to worship you. That's the reason I came to you. That's the reason I sought you out, because I knew you could. That's the reason I was begging you, because I knew you could. That's the reason I submitted to you, because I knew you could. That's the reason I'm asking, because I knew you could. But even if you don't, I know you can. That's faith. Too many times we ask God to do something that either we will never know the answer, or else we ask him for something that we figure is going to happen anyway. Don't ask unless you believe. And if you believe, why aren't you asking? That's the two options. I'll read them again. Don't ask unless you believe. And if you believe, then why aren't you asking? Because that's faith. Don't hope to run into him. The gospel is the only thing that will cover your desperation and my desperation. The amount of movement shows the amount of submission. And this last one, don't live in your leprosy. Understand what I'm saying by that. Don't live in your leprosy. Because too many of us are content. But as I can have leprosy and I'll just cover it up. Nobody else sees it. Because from here down, it's covered up by my clothes. It's covered up by my religion. It's covered up by my job. It's covered up by all these other things. If it's still there, it's not covered up to him. And if you're willing to live in your leprosy, the sin that's in our lives, the lack of submission, the lack of understanding what we're like without the grace and the mercy of God, what we're like when we refuse to seek Jesus, if we're going to live like that, we're living in our leprosy. Are you satisfied with that? This guy wasn't. Are you satisfied to go out of here the same way you came in? And I'm not saying it's because of anything I've said. I'm not saying it's because of anything that we read in this one verse. What I'm saying is, if you're satisfied to stay where you were an hour ago or 2 hours ago, then we've got an issue. If I'm satisfied to stay where I was 2 hours ago when I walked into this place, then I'm satisfied to stay where I'm at spiritually. And if that's the case, then the devil has me in his back pocket. Because it's like that escalator that I always say. When you're a kid, you ran up the down escalator. The second you stop, you're going the wrong way. And that's where we are spiritually so many times. Because we get content. And I can come to church and I can hear an encouraging message, or I can hear a message that maybe I don't want to listen to, and I can walk out of here the same as I did when I came in. If that's the case, then you didn't come to see Jesus. You came to First Southern Baptist Church. And that's going to get you nowhere. As Christians, we need to understand that there is one healing for leprosy, and it's Jesus. And He can heal. The leper said, "You can." Verse 41, Jesus was moved with compassion. Just because He saw a leper? No. He stretched out His hand and He touched him. Jesus is still stretching out His hand today. Christian, when you're walking in the muck and mire of this world, we can blame a lot of it on the world because we live in a broken world, and we say that all the time. But the bottom line is, we live in that world, and too many times we let the muck and mire of that world get on us and we don't wash it off. Jesus still wants to touch us. He started on the cross when He came and He died on the cross to take away that sin that we have inside us. Are we content to live with something that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross? Are we that content to say, "No, I'm good. I'll leave the same way I came"? And don't come expecting my sermon to change you, because it won't. The only thing that's going to change you is if you, like this man, come to Jesus. As I close, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, maybe there's somebody out there that's going to listen to this on YouTube later. Maybe there's somebody here, I don't know. But the bottom line is, Jesus came down off of that mountain and He walked, could have walked right past this leper. Kept going, headed on down. Man, that time of passing was how long that this man had the opportunity to see Jesus and talk to Him? Never know. It's like, I don't know how much time you have, but I know you need to come to Jesus. I know you need to see how desperate your situation is. I know you need to submit to Him as the Lord of your life. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you and become the Lord of your life. I know you need to do that if you never have. But you don't have to take it up with me. Take it up with Him. But Christian, understand this. If you've already accepted Christ, this is us too. Don't live in the leprosy. Follow these same steps that this man did. And live by faith in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You and we thank You so much for all that You do. Lord, never let us be content. Show us our desperation that we might seek to know You more. Lord, help us to surrender, to love You, to come to You. In Your name I pray. Amen.